Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we take an in-depth look at veteran homelessness across Minnesota. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Veterans Day, I hope you pause to remember those who served our state and nation. Veterans Day sprung from World War I, the Great War, the war to end all wars. It shook the nations of the world for 4 years, claiming over 20 million lives. The armistice was signed on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. Since then, nations commemorate that event with a moment of silence. That moment of silence punctuates the air and focuses everyone's attention to the service of our veterans across the country and in locations around the world. And those veterans encompass many different kinds of people, those who serve our country in many diverse ways. This day is observed around the world and has been known by many names, such as Armistice Day, Remembrance Day, and others. It once was a celebration of the silencing of the cannons of World War I. Now it marks a day when nations around the world pause in a moment of silence with solemn pride in remembrance of the heroism of those who have served, those who are currently serving, and those who died in our country's service. We don't mark this day each year as a celebration of victory, but rather as a celebration of those who made victory possible. Thank you, veterans.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to discuss veteran homelessness is Eric Grumdahl, Special Advisor on Ending Veteran Homelessness in the State of Minnesota. Eric, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much, Tom. Really happy to be here.
Eric, I think we're going to have some fun with this today. You're on a serious mission, and I know the mission is to eliminate veterans' homelessness. And when I think about that, it makes me think about catching smoke, because if we get everybody off the streets in the next year, what happens the day after? But we'll get to that one in a little bit.
I think it's a great question, and happy to talk about that.
Can you tell me, it looks like you've been working on veteran homelessness for many, many years. Can you tell me where you started on this?
Sure. So I started about 20 years ago, really, with some efforts that were growing up locally in the Twin Cities around trying to engage and serve a variety of people that had really long histories of homelessness. And we didn't really have good terminology back then. We just knew that was a group of people that struggled to find success even when they had access to affordable housing. And what's been really amazing is over the course of the last 20 years, we've really figured out a lot of important things that are helping us really turn the curve on ending homelessness for anybody, and including veterans. And so some of those learnings are about when somebody's had a long history of homelessness, that often is a sign of having confronted a number of other challenges that require more than just access to affordable housing or a job. It also requires the right mix of supports and assistance that help somebody stay stable in their housing, so that what we have is a housing result that we can really sustain over time. And so that approach, permanent supportive housing, and the way that it's really evolved has shown us that even for individuals that people 20 years ago might have thought will never be stably housed, they're actually able to succeed and thrive in their communities with the right mix of support and housing. And part of what we've learned, amazingly, is that it is not just a great outcome for those individuals, but that actually when we look at the public costs, the kind of net impact across our public safety systems and our healthcare system and other kinds of emergency and institutional services, it's actually a smarter investment for the taxpayer to provide the right mix of housing and services for those individuals, rather than have somebody have a health crisis become something that requires a really expensive hospitalization or end up having costs that really don't buy us anything in terms of outcomes and keep people on the streets.
Well, Eric, it looks like you've had a series of positions and kind of learned your way through this process. Can you walk us through where have you been and what positions have you held?
Sure. So 20 years ago when I started in this work, I was at an organization called the Corporation for Supportive Housing, or CSH, and they're kind of an incubator based in communities across the country to help create these kinds of housing with support services. And I was tasked with helping to support a kind of big idea of a new state level initiative that would focus on this group of individuals with really long histories of homelessness. That ended up creating its own organization called Hearth Connection, which ended up, 12 years later, as the time passes, ended up serving a whole network of organizations that were working with people experiencing homelessness. During my tenure there, we were able to successfully house over 2,200 people who came into the program with a really long and complicated homelessness experience. After that, I ended up at Dakota County as the county's point person in the Human Service Agency for housing and homelessness programs. And then I got tapped to serve at the federal level with a small federal agency called the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness. It's an independent agency that's tasked with coordinating the federal response on homelessness across 19 big federal agencies, including Veterans Affairs and HUD and HHS. And so part of my portfolio at USICH, the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness, was to serve as our policy lead on veteran homelessness and youth homelessness. And so really had a chance to work very closely with VA leadership at a federal level, as well as communities across the country that are making some just really tremendous progress on veteran homelessness.
We're speaking with Eric Grumdahl, who is now Special Advisor on Ending Veteran Homelessness for the state of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Eric, it looks like from the ground up, you've learned about all there is to learn about homelessness and how to deal with it over more than a decade.
Well, yeah, it's the time goes quickly, as you know. What I'd say is that it has been a really, really amazing time because, just over the last 5 years, really since the launch of the federal plan, Opening Doors, we have seen a tremendous amount of effort focused on veteran homelessness specifically. And, when we really look at what the impact of that focus has been, it's a consistent story across the whole country, which is where we've had resources that have been invested in practices that we know work, and we have evidence to show that they work, and they're implemented well locally, voila, what we see is we actually make tremendous progress on veteran homelessness. And so nationally, from 2010 to 2014, we've seen a 33% reduction in veteran homelessness, which I think is a testament to that equation. In Minnesota, that progress has been even more significant. So since 2010, we've reduced veteran homelessness by 47%. And I think what that goes to show us is that we can end veteran homelessness. This is actually an attainable goal. It's not easy. It's not simple work, but we can do it, and we will do it because we've committed to doing it.
Now, Eric, a few years back, General Shinseki, when he was the head of the VA, he made one of his priorities to eliminate veterans' homelessness, and he backed that up from what you've been telling me. That had to have a major impact.
Absolutely. I think the federal resources that VA has invested have been absolutely essential in turning this curve on veteran homelessness. The HUD-VASH program, which is a rental assistance and supportive housing program administered with HUD, through local public housing agencies and VA medical centers, has been absolutely critical for engaging veterans, especially veterans with long histories of homelessness. But they've also done innovation in spaces like homelessness prevention and what's called rapid rehousing that have been able to engage vets that may not have those complicated long-term needs, but still need some assistance to make sure they can either stay where they are now or quickly be rehoused if they experience homelessness.
Eric, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to dig in a little bit about the causes of homelessness and the question of whether or not it can really be resolved. We're speaking with Eric Grumdahl, Special Advisor on Ending Veteran Homelessness in the state of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking about veteran homelessness today with Eric Grumdahl, who is the Special Advisor on Ending Veteran Homelessness in the state of Minnesota. Eric, now we've talked a little bit in the first segment. You've been working on veteran homelessness for over a decade and probably learned a lot of lessons the hard way, which is maybe the good way. School of experience isn't too bad, is it?
Hard knocks. You got it.
I think we should start at the beginning here. I am a Vietnam veteran, and I know there were a lot of Vietnam veterans that were homeless, and we're trying to work with those, and we're doing stand-downs, and the MACVs out there working with them, and General Shinseki made a point of, when he took over the VA, of making that a priority, and you've indicated that that helped. Tell me, how did you get back here to Minnesota to be Special Advisor, and then let's talk about how people become homeless.
So I feel really lucky to be part of a team in Minnesota that is focused on delivering on a really bold commitment. So 410 days from today, we have committed to end veteran homelessness in Minnesota, so the end of 2015. And what that means is that we have set ourselves the goal of making sure there is housing and the services that veterans need for every one of the 317 veterans that we identified during the last time that we do a count of our whole state, and that every one of those veterans is on a path to housing. But it also means that as a community, we've created the capacity that we need so that that result of getting every one of those 317 veterans connected to housing, that that result is sustained so that those veterans stay stably housed, they have access to the support they need, the income they need, the employment opportunities that they need, but also that we have in our communities the ability to respond to any veteran that experiences a housing crisis. And wherever we can get ahead of that from, before it becomes homelessness, actually be able to intervene so that we can stabilize their housing. And where we can't get ahead of it and we end up seeing that somebody experiences homelessness, that we're able to quickly engage those individuals and connect them with the support they need. So the state has made a bold commitment through the governor and the Minnesota Interagency Council on Homelessness, including Veterans Affairs Secretary Shelito. And so Veterans Affairs Commissioner Shelito. So what we mean by that commitment is that our focus on veterans will take us to the goal, have that goal be sustained, and make sure that we are on an ongoing basis providing the support that every veteran needs to stay stably housed.
Eric, that's a great goal, but I want to back up just for a minute. I know that there are a lot of veterans homeless, there's a lot of civilians homeless, but you would think that something caused the downward spiral, whether it was a divorce or whether it was some tickets or losing a job or some drug problems, whatever it is, a series of events probably took them to the streets. And then I don't know how in the world you counted 317, but I understand that's your best estimate. Well, how do they get there and what does it take to try to pull them back?
So one of the things that the state's commitment on veteran homelessness, I really appreciate about it is that the focus is really on ending veteran homelessness on a veteran by veteran basis. And that's really because what we've learned is that there isn't a single story that leads to homelessness and there isn't a single path out of homelessness. It really requires that you connect with each individual veteran and their family, understand what from their point of view are their aspirations, but also what barriers and challenges they face, and that we've got, and that we have the resources that have the kind of flexibility and the responses that have the flexibility to be able to really meet that veteran where they are and make sure that the path for that individual back into housing really works for them. I think some of the evolution in our practice around ending homelessness over the last 20 years has been instead of approaching this with a one size fits all, we have a standard approach that we use for anybody. What we've learned is that you really have to get in there and understand each individual's circumstances and provide what we call kind of low threshold or low barrier paths for them to access housing again. That's how, when somebody's been, homeless on the street for decades in some cases, what we find is that often they've had attempts at getting back into housing that haven't come with that right mix of supports or that have come with barriers that have led that veteran or that individual to choose, I'm going to stay on the street instead of choose an option that doesn't work for me.
So it's easier to fail sometimes and harder to succeed and break loose.
And so our job really, from my point of view, as a community and really as kind of folks that are trying to make good on the commitment that our governor and the state plan have made on ending veteran homelessness is to make sure that our resources and our responses to every veteran really do honor what that individual needs, really get in there and understand what they need, how to connect them with those resources, and move forward in a way that's going to work for them. So one of the great strategies that Minnesota is deploying to this end is to create what's called a veteran registry. So right now, Tom, we know that there's these 317 that were counted back on a one night in January across the whole state, but we don't know them by name. We don't know where they are. We don't know what they need. We don't know how to get a hold of them. And so how on earth can we end their homelessness? So this
sounds like a great question, Eric.
So the solution to that problem is to really get to the point that in every community, we have a list of veterans by name that all of our resources, veteran service organizations, organizations that are focused on homelessness, the state Veterans Affairs Department, as well as the federal VA, are all working together to make sure that those individuals have access to what they need.
We're talking about veteran homelessness with Eric Grumdahl, the Special Advisor on Ending Veteran Homelessness for the state of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. So Eric, I understand that every person is unique and their circumstances that got them to be homeless are going to be unique and different. What's the first step? Is it getting them some housing? How do you get started?
That's right. So this veteran registry approach that we're using, the goal is that in every region of the state, very soon, it's just about to launch, that in every region of the state, anybody can call LinkVet. That's 1-888-LINK-VET. And by dialing that number, be able to provide information. Either the veteran themselves can call, or somebody who knows or is supporting that veteran can call. Can identify that individual and you know, give us a sense of what it is that they need. A local regional team will then follow up and be able to say, all right, here is the information that we have about this veteran, and how do we make sure that we get back in touch with them and follow up with the support that they need access to and the housing that they need access to. That approach, I think, is going to really help us create a broader open doorway for any veteran to walk through.
So if our listeners know of a homeless vet, contact 1-888-LINK-VET and send in some information, and Sergeant Ben will have that information on Minnesota Military's Radio's Facebook page. We've just got a couple of minutes left, Eric. What are the next steps? You're pulling together in the state of Minnesota, the governor, the mayors, everybody, every resource you can find to work on this issue. Do you think you can really get them all off the streets within a year?
So the leadership commitment that's been made at a federal level and at a state level and in communities across Minnesota, we have 7 mayors in Minnesota that have committed to end veteran homelessness by the end of next year. That commitment really, we have to make good. We have to make good on the commitment that our leaders have made. They've stuck their neck out, and so now it's time for us as communities to deliver on that commitment. What that means is we have to identify every veteran. We can't end veteran homelessness if we don't know about it. And we have to make sure that we've got the right mix of resources in every community. That's a community level issue. You can't have a single approach that works across the whole state. You really have to make sure that each region of the state has an approach that works. And so we're engaged in working with communities across the state to make sure that they've got the resources they need to accomplish this job. The good news is that when you look at the investments that have been made in this space and the lessons we've learned about what works best, there is no reason that a veteran would experience homelessness in Minnesota. We can absolutely end it because we can make sure that every veteran has access to the support that they need.
So part of your job is going to be to coordinate all the efforts and all the resources across the state, county, local, so that they all pull together and try to get all of our veterans and some of our civilians off the streets.
That's right.
Eric, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to tell this story. I think it's a story that not a lot of people know about, and it's a real success in terms of our community's ability to focus on an ambitious mission, pull ourselves together, and invest the resources needed to actually get it done.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
There was Eric Grumdahl, the Special Advisor on Ending Veteran Homelessness for the state of Minnesota. In a moment, we'll be joined by Twin Cities Public Television to continue our discussion of veterans' homelessness on the show. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Network. Stay tuned for more and follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk to Luke Heikkila, producer at Twin Cities Public Television. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Chalateau.
November is Native American Indian Heritage Month. And as we celebrate, I want to take a moment to talk about our Native American veterans here in Minnesota. A permanent plaque on the Capitol grounds in St. Paul serves as a reminder of the contributions Native American veterans have made to our state. Their contributions to our nation's military were noted by General George Washington and have continued on to today's conflicts. It has been documented that Native Americans, percentage-wise, are the largest ethnic group to have served in our nation's armed forces. The Department of Defense's research found that this high percentage has been, in part, due to their cultural attributes of strength, honor, devotion, pride, and wisdom. We are grateful for our Native American veterans for their service and sacrifice to this great nation.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalado. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about a new production of called Crossing the Threshold is Luke Heikkila, a producer at Twin Cities Public Television. Luke, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Luke, for some of those listeners that might not have heard you on our show before, can you tell us a little bit about your career, how long you've been with public television?
Well, Tom, thank you. Yeah, I've been with Twin Cities Public Television for going on 10 years now. And in that time, for about the past 8 years, I've been focusing a lot of my attention on stories concerning our state's military and veteran communities. And let me tell you, it's been an honor to be able to work so closely with the Minnesota National Guard and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs to bring these remarkable stories to our viewers.
I think you're probably getting pretty comfortable in a helmet and a flak vest, Luke.
You know, yeah, I have had, I think you're alluding to two embeds that I've been on. In 2009, I embedded with the 34th Infantry Division, the Red Bulls, to Basra, Iraq, for a documentary that I did called Iraq and Back, Minnesotan Stories, in which I followed five actively serving members of the Red Bulls and their families during the year of the time that they were away from home during their deployment. So I was able to get to know, really intimately get to know what it was like for a family to go through a deployment, and also at the same time find out what it was like for those soldiers to go through the deployment. So as part of that production, I went to Basra for about a week. And then later, a few years later in 2012, I embedded with the Agribusiness Development Team, which was a small unit of 22 Minnesota National Guard soldiers who were in Zabul Province in southeastern Afghanistan. And for that project, I embedded with that unit for 2 weeks to really learn what it was that they were doing in country and to get to know the Afghans that they were working with hand in hand and get to know what it was like for, you know, not just our men and women from Minnesota, but what it was like for men and women and children in Afghanistan to really scratch out an existence in that really desolate, poor, austere province in southeastern Afghanistan.
And we recently had you on with another special you did about the 70th anniversary of the liberation of parts of Italy.
Yeah, for that project, equally as exciting, but I was able to leave my vest and helmet at home. With that production called Through a Soldier's Eyes, Staff Sergeant Dylan Jennings and the commanding general, Neil Leutold, of the commanding general of the 34th Infantry, and a few other soldiers, we went to portions of Italy that Red Bulls helped liberate 70 years ago during World War II. And let me tell you, to be able to travel with currently serving soldiers and seeing them react to the terrain and the river crossings and everything else that our forefathers had to go through during their time in country during World War II, it's really eye-opening to me. I hope viewers were able to walk away with an understanding of how difficult the fight was for the Red Bulls during World War II, and how astonishing it was that, you know, they marched right up the peninsula. They were at Anzio. They liberated Rome. Before they got there, they were in northern Africa. You know, they really saw everything that there was to see in Italy. And for Dylan and for General Leutold and myself, just to see a small bit of that during Through a Soldier's Eyes was really life-changing for me.
We're speaking with Luke Heikkila, producer at Twin Cities Public Television on Minnesota Military Radio. And Luke, the focus of our show today has been veteran homelessness across the state of Minnesota, and you did another piece called Crossing the Threshold.
Yeah,
can you tell us about that?
Crossing the Threshold came to be through a grant that Twin Cities Public Television received from PBS. And PBS has a large initiative that has just kicked off. It's called Veterans Coming Home. And it's a two-year long initiative. Your listeners will be able to tune in to PBS or their PBS station for the next few years and see some really great programming that's a result of this initiative. Crossing the Threshold is just one small piece of that, but it's a nice little program that looks at the phenomenal work that the Minnesota Assistant Council for Veterans is doing. And I'm sure your listeners are familiar with the fine work that they are doing. For this program, I was able to follow three MACV employees and see what it was that they do throughout some of their daily, throughout their day to help veterans in all sorts of, get out of all sorts of crisis. It's not just homelessness that MACV focuses on. That was the focus of my story, but MACV really does do a number of things to help veterans who are in need.
And I've screened that show. You did a nice job of it once again. We're getting used to that from you, Luke. Each of those employees that you interviewed are also veterans.
They are. And the point was made that you don't need to be a veteran to help a veteran, but it helps. It's the camaraderie. I'm not a veteran myself, so I feel a little bit like an outsider saying this, and maybe this is something that you can add to the conversation, Tom. But you have a sense of camaraderie with other veterans. Doran Hocker, who is a Vietnam era veteran that I interviewed, in this piece said, if you put 50 people in a room with only two veterans in that room, we will find each other. Maybe it's the manner of speaking, or it's the way that veterans carry themselves, but they find each other, they have common ground, they're able to talk about shared experiences, they're able to swap stories, and that just helps break down barriers that veterans may have. A very proud group of men and women, maybe they don't want to ask for help, but when those barriers have been broken down by the employees at MACV and other organizations around the state and region that help, it's got to help. Like I said, I'm not a veteran. I've never been in a situation where I've had to ask for help through a veterans organization, but I understand pride. I also understand that when that person sitting across the table from you is a friendly face and you've shared stories, it just becomes that much easier to potentially ask for help. So in the case of MACV, no, you don't need to be a veteran to work there. A number of their employees are veterans, and they have that camaraderie that can really go a great distance to help other veterans out.
Luke, I think the bond that you're talking about that one veteran has for another is once you've been to war, once you've been on missions, and you've gone with your buddies, and you know that the guy standing next to you will risk his life to save yours, and you know that you'll risk your life to save his, you automatically have a bond with every other veteran, and I think that's what you're trying to describe.
It's a mantra that I've heard. I've never lived, but you don't leave a brother or a sister behind. In MACV's situation, when those brothers and sisters return home, return to the United States, return to Minnesota, they're not home. We're still not going to leave them behind, even though they may be where they call home. They're going to need some help, and we're not going to leave them behind after the mission is over.
We've just got about a minute left before we go to break, but one of the issues that you talk about in Crossing the Threshold is the fact that when our veterans come back and they've deployed with a couple hundred of their buddies, and they come back and they muster out, now they're on their own, and you don't have that camaraderie with other civilians, and sometimes they get a little lost.
Yeah, and through two of the stories I've told, I learned that from the gentleman I put on camera. And they weren't expecting it. They thought they would be just fine, but it turned out that they weren't, and they're not alone. And that's one thing that we really wanted to state in this piece, is that veterans who have that feeling of feeling left behind, you're not alone. And finding the right people to talk to, maybe they don't need financial help, maybe they don't need housing assistance, but they want or need someone to talk to. And MACV and other organizations that can be reached through the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs can really do a great job in providing that ability for veterans to make connections again, to feel that sense of camaraderie that they had while they were actively serving.
Luke, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more about Crossing the Threshold with Luke Heikkilä from Twin Cities Public Television. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Luke Heikkila, a producer from Twin Cities Public Television, about a new production he has out called Crossing the Threshold. And Luke, where can they find all of this work that you've been doing?
You know, Tom, great question. Veterans.tpt.org is a webpage that Twin Cities Public Television has set up. And that webpage houses a number of documentaries that TPT has done, documentaries that relate to veterans and military issues that face our veterans and are currently serving soldiers here in Minnesota. So Crossing the Threshold can be found on veterans.tpt.org.
Yeah, and Sergeant Ben will have a link to that up on the Minnesota Military Radio website. Luke, in this Crossing the Threshold, you interviewed three veterans who also work for MACV. And how difficult was it to get them to open up about the issues they faced when they came back?
You know, to a T, I will say that every single veteran and member of our military that I've interviewed, they are reluctant at first. It's not about them, is what their body language says. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about me. But when they start talking, I think they sort of sense a moment that by talking, I am able to shed light on issues that are greater than me. So it's sort of like it's the mission. You know, it's about the mission. It's about the mission. And while I'm talking to veterans, and in this case, people who face crisis in their lives, although they may have been reluctant at first, they really do open up, and they provide viewers with a real sense of honesty, what it was like to be a veteran who came home and spent 30 years homeless, what it was like to come home and not have enough money to fill up your fuel tank on a cold Minnesota winter. You know, what it's like to come home and there's crisis in your life at home, and you feel like you're more at home while you were in Iraq than you did when you're actually in Minneapolis. So when I sense that moment during the interview, I feel honored to be sitting there across from that veteran listening to him or her tell me that story. And as an interviewer, I'm just glad that I've got that brand of PBS, the brand of Twin Cities Public Television behind me, that hopefully provides, you know, that veteran with a little bit of a safe harbor, knowing that we're going to treat their story with respect. We're going to treat their story honestly. We're not out there to portray them in a light that is unfair.
And Luke, one of the things that came across to me is we were talking about getting homeless veterans off the street and into some housing. And then there was a focus in there on a door.
Yeah.
And the thing that having a door does in terms of providing comfort, safety, security.
Yeah, I mean, everything that you and I take for granted because we have that door. You know, I'm looking at an office door right now as I'm doing this interview, and that office door provides me with a sense of security. It's safe. I've got a place I can concentrate while I'm doing this interview. My door at home, you know, I can lock it. I can keep my children safe. I can, you know, I've got an address. I've got a number on that outside of that door. So if people need to reach me, they can. If they need to mail me something, they can. You know, it's a place where I can go at the end of the day. I can close that door and I can close off, you know, problems that I face during the day. And now I'm home. I've got my home base. That's what that door is. And if you don't have a door, you know, you don't have any of that. So, you know, that was one visual that I hope that viewers would take away. You know, so there's a few pictures of doorknobs and people walking through doors and that sort of thing. And it's just a visual message, a way to help people remember that you have a door in your life. Consider yourself fortunate. There are hundreds of veterans in Minnesota who do not have what you have in that door. So it's just a way that I wanted to be able to connect with viewers to help them understand the importance of something that we often take for granted.
Another thing that jumped off of that production was that, you know, our veterans, if they've hit the bottom and they're homeless, they've kind of given up and they don't know how to get back. And we have to give them faith that they can make it and start taking small steps or baby steps one at a time to get back to normalization.
It's all about what you're going to do tomorrow. You know, today is here. Tomorrow is going to be here. Don't focus on on what you're going to do a month from now or a year from now. And that's what I learned by following Doran Hawker, who is a Vietnam-era veteran who was a counselor with MACV. He has since just recently retired from MACV. But in the time that I was with him, I saw the care in his eyes as he was talking to Chris, who is a veteran that he'd been counseling over the last few months. And Doran honestly cares for Chris and wants Chris to do everything he can to get back on his feet. And to hear Doran, you know, take this young veteran under his wing and say, you can do it. You know, I've got faith in you. One day at a time, you know, all of these things that he can say to help lift Chris or other veterans up, you know, it was really phenomenal. It was an honor to be able to be there with cameras to see Doran care for this veteran in the manner that he did.
Look, we've got about a minute left and we have to end this interview. As a civilian and producing all of these shows that you have involving the military, the Minnesota National Guard, the Red Bulls, and now crossing the threshold, you've had some experiences that a lot of civilians aren't able to have.
You know, and I count my blessings each and every day. You know, the ability that I've had over the course of the last 8 years to get to know the people that I've gotten to know, to be able to tell the stories that I've told. Then I was thrilled that PBS came up with this Veterans Coming Home initiative because TPT was already so far ahead of the game through the help that we've had with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and from the Minnesota National Guard and the 34th Infantry. I'm fortunate that I know the right people to continue to tell these stories. These relationships that have been formed over the course of the last 8 years at TPT are really going to continue to come to fruit. TPT is going to continue to tell these stories, and we're going to continue to work with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And I'm honored that you've called me again to be able to talk about it, because the Minnesota Military Radio Hour is another way for people to gain a better understanding of what it is that our veterans and our military communities are going through. So I'm honored to have been able to tell the stories that I've told over the past few years.
Luke, thanks for all the great work, and Sergeant Ben and I are keeping our eyes open to see what you do next. Thanks for joining us today.
All right, thanks, Tom.
This is Luke Heikkilä, a producer at Twin Cities Public Television, talking about his new production, Crossing the Threshold. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, hello, Tom. It's great to be back with you today.
Sergeant Major, I imagine you had a real busy Veterans Day last week.
Yeah, I sure did. I had two great opportunities this week, and I'd like to share with you. The first one took place on Monday. I had the opportunity to go visit a young 8-year-old man in the hospital. He had a part of a tumor removed in his brain. And this young 8-year-old boy, just a military enthusiast, and I'll tell you what, I mean, his personal courage, just it serves as that great reminder to all of us that, you know, we just need to attack obstacles with a positive attitude, because this guy was fantastic, see him up and moving, and just real excited that a group of us Army guys got to come over and visit with him.
I saw some photos of that event. Apparently you had Chaplain Wynn with you.
Yeah, I sure did. I had Chaplain Wynn and another soldier and a retired soldier with us. And, yeah, it was a great, great opportunity to go in and cheer up a young man and, you know, bring a little bit of brightness to his day.
And you had another event you wanted to talk about on Veterans Day?
Yeah, so on Veterans Day, I went over and had the opportunity to hear Staff Sergeant Sal Junta speak. And for those not familiar with it, Sal is the first living recipient of the Medal of Honor since Vietnam. And his heroic acts of 25 October of 07 is what got him the Medal of Honor, which was then awarded on the 17th of November 2010. And Tom, I mean, there was a room full of people that were just on the edge of their seats listening to this this soldier talk about his experiences in Afghanistan and the actions he took on that day in October. And the thing that I thought was just most interesting was he talked about his transformation from being a young kid in Iowa and how, you know, it was always about him and, you know, I and me. And then he talked about how, you know, he joins the Army, and the Army teaches him about you're not an individual anymore. Your job is to stand there and look out for the person to your left, to your right. And when you do that, you'll always know that two people are looking out for you. And just described about how that relationship, makes the Army, the military, in general, so strong. And, you know, that together, you know, we are at our best. And just a great story about selfless service, about honor, and, just dedication to one's unit and the fellow soldiers in that unit.
And I'm sure he thought he wasn't doing anything special. He was just taking care of his battle buddies.
You're exactly right. And that's what he mentioned several times. This wasn't about him. He wasn't trying to get any type of award. He was doing what he knew anybody else to his left or right would have done for him. And his job was to save his fellow teammate that was being dragged away by two enemy combatants.
Sergeant Major, we just got a few seconds left. I think you wanted to tell me about, have you got a new Facebook page?
I do. I've got a Facebook page out there. It's Facebook CSM Wortham. And also, I have an on-center ice page, which is part of or a link off of our MinnesotaNationalGuard.org page. And that's where people can, both pages, people can get an opportunity to see what's going on, what I've been up to, and the different initiatives that we've got going on for the Minnesota National Guard.
And
Facebook and on-center ice.
Sergeant Ben will have some links to those pages on our Minnesota Military Radio website.
Perfect. Thanks, Tom. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us today, sir.
Yes, you have a wonderful rest of the day, and happy Veterans Day to you as well. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Sergeant Major. That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Eric Grumdahl, Luke Heikkila, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the 100th anniversary of the beginning of World War I and look back at Minnesota's connections to the war and all wars. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.